Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yo, hello, ladies and gentlemen, we are back.
Hi.
Yeah, sorry about that. Last couple of weeks, just been very busy. And my mum was a bit poorly, so I had to rush off to Scotland just to see her. She's fine, by the way. Well, I mean, you know, she's still
on the mend.
Poorly. She's on the mend, aye. That tripped us up last week a little bit. And the week before that was just...
It's half term and the Masked Singer
was every night.
So we're recording the Masked Singer for January. And we did an I'm a Celebrity special, which was on,
it's tonight,
but it's last week for everybody listening. So it's been absolute carnage in the best possible way. And we just didn't have enough hours in the day.
I don't think so. I think the last time we did this was pre the NTAs, I think. The last time we recorded.
Yeah.
The NTAs was good fun, wasn't it?
Oh my God, it was amazing.
Yeah, you looked good that night.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's all right. We had a good time, I remember.
Yeah, and fantastic.
And then life went pear-shaped after that.
Yeah, it did.
Anyway, it's very nice to be back, everybody. It's lovely to talk to you all. Thanks for all the messages of hope and love and support on the Instagram page. We both read the Instagram page quite
a
lot.
Do.
So, you know, when messages come through.
It's really nice.
Yeah, it's always very nice to read them. So thanks for staying in touch.
I've got a lot to talk about because we've got two weeks worth.
Yeah, yeah.
Of gubbins.
Me too.
I've got quite a few good Christmassy things.
Have you?
Yes. Well, I've got lots of non-alcoholic stuff for people, which I think is always really helpful.
A lot of non-alcoholic stuff.
And I've got a new herbal kind of energy drink. You know, like people used to take guarana. Well, you know, do you remember guarana?
I do remember guarana. Yeah.
It's different. It's called Mate. And
you not trademark that name?
No, yerba mate. Anyway, I'm going to be talking about that a bit later. But it's, this company's got, you know, I'm obsessed with About Us pages on.
You
on
love the, About Us, yeah.
Their About Us page literally melted my heart.
What are they called?
Well, I'll tell you in a minute.
Oh, okay.
Should I talk about them now?
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Let's do it.
So the first people.
Oh, these
I
are
want
these
to
energy
talk
drinks.
About, yes. Our yerba mates. So, on their page, I love a website. I went to. It's called. Their brand is called Hearth, H-E-A-R-T-H. And the reason why they called it that is because it's a cross between your heart and the earth.
Oh, okay, good.
So maybe they call it Hearth.
Yeah.
Or Hearth.
Okay.
But it's drinkhearth.com. And the drink is called Yerba Mate. So coffee plus tea plus chocolate equals yerba mate. So you get the caffeine from the coffee, the theophylline from the tea, and the theobromine from chocolate. And yerba mate is a focused, long-lasting energy without the jitters, crash, and dehydrating. And I have to say, I tested this on the harshest critic of all things drink related, and that was Chester.
Yes.
And I said, Chester, try this. And the first one he tried, he wasn't that keen on. He tried the lemon, and then he tried the passion fruit, and he loved the passion fruit. And I said, okay, well, tell me, what about energy? And he said, actually, I did feel really focused all day.
Okay.
He
good,
went
good.
Boxing after he drank it.
Yes.
And he said he boxed really well. Now, look, that could be a placebo. But
it doesn't matter, does it?
It doesn't really matter, does it? But also, there's a lot of nice things about this drink, but I'm quickly going to show you their story because it will make you just like die.
Okay.
Look, this is our story page. There's tons on here, so I was very happy. The first thing that drew my attention was millions of people saw us decide to get married.
Sora's
look at this.
To get married. Oh, why? Wow.
Go on to our page and watch this.
I think this is Chiran and Pavan, and I think he's got something to say to her.
Aye. I love Northern voiceover.
I think it's a cricket match or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And he actually proposes at the match.
Oh, and everybody they're filming sees. It.
And they're all filming. Look, decision pending. They put the words decision pending on the screen.
I mean, obviously she says yes, but I'm waiting.
But look, she puts the ring on her finger. He has to actually put the ring on her finger. Look, and then they slow-mo the hug. How lovely is that?
Fantastic, yeah.
So they had me at the marriage proposal. I mean, I absolutely loved that.
Yeah.
And then afterwards they said, we made each other mugs to celebrate. So they made mugs themselves.
Okay, like out of clay or whatever, yeah.
But didn't have anything to put in them.
Mm-hmm.
Until we discovered the magic of mate.
Mate.
Mate. A bit of Googling told us that it's full of vitamins and antioxidants, while it also has some naturally occurring caffeine. The word hearth handily comes from blah, 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 earth and heart. And here they just talk about all the different flavours and everything. I'm going to let you try some now.
I have difficulty enough getting to sleep
at night. The thing I think is that, you don't need to worry about it too much. It doesn't have... No, but it doesn't have the...
I know what you mean, like the Red
jitters.
Bull stuff.
Well, it's like they said, the jitters. It doesn't give you the jitters. But I think it is a really quite nice, refreshing...
Oh, yeah, it is nice. It tastes very herby.
There's no fake sugars, no fake flavourings.
Yeah, you can...
All natural. Yeah, you can... But it tastes natural, but it does taste like something. Mm. I can't stand stuff that's too wishy-washy. It has got quite a nice sweet taste to it. This is the lemon one.
I've got passion fruit here.
I like the lemon
definitely
one.
Definitely passion fruit. And Chester wasn't keen on lemon, was he not?
He wasn't, but I mean, I think it's just personal taste, isn't it? But I rather like the lemon. It's quite sort of fresh.
Oh, yeah. Because I actually like very watery drinks. I like if I make cordial...
Well, this is right up your street.
I make it very watery.
Yeah, you do.
It tastes more of water than it does of the cordial, but I just like a bit of flavour. Mm. And this is a bit like that, really. It's got just a...
A hint.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like something super sweet or acidic or anything like that.
And I've just given this to you warm.
Yeah,
imagine on some ice.
Mixed with tequila.
So, we can talk about that
in a
minute.
Yeah, we can.
But it's not hugely cheap.
Okay.
When you're, let's compare it to, I mean, nothing's going to be as cheap as a Coca-Cola or a Diet Coke, but a Coke Zero is kind of £10 for 24 cans.
Yeah.
And you get 24 cans here for £30.
Okay.
But it is a specialised drink. It is an energy drink.
So is that about £1.15 a can or something like that?
It's not
right,
that
isn't
bad.
It? Yeah, that's pretty
I don't
good.
Think. And I mean, you're never going to be able to compete with a giant like Coca-Cola, but I was just trying to give you a rough kind of comparison. I love them as a brand.
Mm-hmm.
They are Drink Hearth, H-E-A-R-T-H, or drinkhearth.com. And they do give you a nice lift when you need it. And it doesn't give you the jitters, but it's also a really refreshing drink. Mm. So I thought that was quite an original.
Very good.
Company. And thank you very much for sending that to us.
I'm starting back on my gym journey at the moment.
Yes.
Well, that's the idea anyway. God, it's hard, isn't it, folks? You know, when you get out of the loop. Crikey, O'Reilly. Steve the dad bod did this post the other day that he said, okay, this is how I first got pecs. And then he said, I got up and I did as many press-ups as I could do until I couldn't do any more.
Yes, to failure.
And then I waited for a minute and then I did the same again and then I did the same again. And I did that every day for a month.
Wow. And boom,
it happened. I had pecs, you know, and I was like, oh, great. And I thought, I just need something to get me going. That's a great idea. I'm going to just try and do
exercise
that.
Exercise to failure is brilliant.
Yeah, 1st of November, I thought I'm going to start and just, you know, see if I can do 100, let's say, you know. I mean, I can do 50 press-ups in one go normally. But then, you know, I thought, well, I'll see if I can just keep going and see until I can't do any more. And then I'll do them in 3 stages and all the rest of it. So I thought, great, Steve the dad bod's got me going again, you know. 1st of November came by.
Gone.
Nothing. Couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. Didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Talked myself out of it all day. 2nd of November, same again.
Oh.
Rubbish. Where are we? At the 5th? Are we in the 5th today?
Yes, I think so.
No, it's the 6th.
Well, you did it today, though.
I went to the gym today. But
you did it today.
God, I was so depressed today.
Yeah, but you did
like,
it.
God almighty, what is wrong with me? Why can't I just go? You know, like, what?
Yeah, but you've got a lot on your plate.
I have got a lot on my plate. And the reason I'm telling people this is because I'm assuming other people also feel the same.
Yes.
But I just want to tell people I went today.
Yeah, well done.
I went at like 4:30 this afternoon.
Which is very hard.
I was supposed to go at 8 o'clock this morning, but... But I was thinking, next time I go, I'm going to have one of these cans before I go.
Yes, like half an hour before I go. That's what Chester did.
Yes, exactly. Because I'd normally have a shot of coffee or something like that. But it'd be nice to have something a bit more refreshing, maybe a bit chilled and all the rest of it. But people, if you're struggling,
you understand.
I totally get it. But do it just a bit.
Because do you feel better now that you've done it?
Oh, my God, I can't tell you how much better I feel. And I know that. Like, I know the outcome.
I know the outcome.
Like, you feel better. Of course you feel better. So why don't you just do it? You know, like, it's so weird. But
can I talk to you about sugar?
You can talk to me about sugar, yeah.
I've fallen off the wagon. Mm. Do you know what happened?
What, you've fallen off the wagon?
The sugar wagon.
When?
Like, quite a big way.
When?
So do you know what happened?
Did some sugar fall into your mouth?
Yes.
Did it?
Do you know what happened?
From the top shelf.
Halloween.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Do you know what I bought on Halloween?
Go on.
Because I was out and I thought kids might be trick-or-treating past my house.
Uh-huh.
So I bought two things of celebrations.
Yeah.
And
I've just had three bounties.
Saying, come eat.
Mm-hmm.
Got back. Nothing. No one had taken anything.
Really?
No.
What's wrong with the people round here?
And I did.
You took it all?
Yeah.
Did you treat yourself?
Yeah.
And do you do any tricks? You don't?
No.
That's a shame.
I feel so bad.
Do you?
I hate it.
Yeah, well,
I hate myself.
Yeah, well, that's how I started to feel about
I
not
hate
going
myself.
To the gym. Yeah. It's very weird that you can betray yourself,
but why
can't
do I,
you?
But why do I... Also, the more I beat myself up about it makes me want to secretively eat it more.
Mm.
This is like a therapy session.
Yeah. Yes, I know. It's like a self... It's
like,
a,
if I could just say,
spiral,
I'm going to eat a little bit of sugar.
Yeah.
Which I do try saying to myself.
Mm-hmm.
But it never works out like that. I eat a little bit of sugar and then I'm like, I want more.
Yeah, it's very Moorish. Well, we're seeing the glucose goddess
this
week.
Yeah.
We're seeing
my God. Yeah.
Right?
That's so.
Yeah.
Glucose Revolution.
Yes, the book.
The book. We've recommended it before. Mm-hmm. We are actually seeing Jessie, who wrote the book this week on Wednesday. She's coming over to the UK. And we're really excited because we love her so much. She's so brilliant.
She can talk you out of it.
Yeah, I don't think she wants to talk me out. I think even Tim Spector, I said to Tim, I'm trying to give up sugar. He said, don't give up sugar.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Eat it normally. I was like, you don't understand, Tim. It's all right for you to say that. I'm not normal.
Rubbing it everywhere. Okay, on the subject of celebrations, I do need to, you know,
get this off your chest.
Well, yeah, talk about the elephant in the room, which is they're removing bounty bars from the celebrations.
Is that a joke? Is it an April Fool's thing in November or something?
I do meet lots of people that say, oh, nobody wants the bounties. It's the only thing I want out of a box of celebrations is the bounties. And I do meet other people that are eating the bounties, and I go, oh, I thought nobody else liked them. They go, oh, well, I love them. I mean, obviously, they've done some data and research, and people leave the bounties, but... they should just do like a box of bounties, like a mini bounties. I'd buy that all the time, and anyone who likes bounties would buy it.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not cost effective, maybe for them, but
there have been a lot of things recently where people have just gone, "What? You've done what?" Like, it's so interesting, isn't it? That's you don't fuck with the celebrations.
You should not mess about.
Do not fuck with it. You do not fuck with quality Street.
Do not fuck with the quality of Quality Street.
Do not fuck with the quality of Quality Street. You know, don't mess about.
No. Rossi D. Woods obviously did me a post with my hairdryer.
Oh, my God. It was the best
thing really good,
I have
it?
Ever seen. If you've missed it. Oh, was it on stories?
No. It's on his page.
On
it's
his
on my page
he's
yeah.
done a review of Michael's hairdryer. Number one, it's the best review.
Yeah,
we've had
it's so
from
good,
the most
yes,
famous
yeah.
person as well. Yeah, I don't think anybody with that many followers is apart from me. So it's amazing. But it's so funny.
It's very good. But he was a right find, and we found him on this show.
Yeah,
somebody
we did.
Recommended him to us on on the thing. So sadly, I can't remember who that was. But thanks so much.
Thank
because
you.
He is a gift that keeps
there
on fucking giving.
Said
it. Yeah, well, exactly. I was thinking, I was slightly anxious about posting it because it had the F word in it. I'm thinking, God, you know, I've got a business to consider. Should I be saying the F word on my Instagram feed now and all that? It's funny how.
I
you know,
also,
there's a
I just want
to
say that we should take him to Karen's Diner.
Oh, God, yeah, he'd be great.
We should take him with us.
He should take us.
We should quickly mention Karen's Diner. So this is amazing. Somebody, in fact, she's called Karen, who works at Bovingdon Studios. You know, the two lovely ladies.
Oh, my God, yeah, they're amazing. Great, aren't they?
And Karen turned me on to Karen's Diner, and she said, have you heard about Karen's Diner? It's the funniest thing ever. And I was like, no, I've got no idea what it is. And she went, look at this. And she showed me a lady taking her mum, who was probably 70, to a diner. And the lady at reception, the lady at reception goes, all right, grandma.
Yeah.
All right, grandma. And the mother looks at her daughter and goes,
what?
Anyway, Karen's Diner is a really amazingly hilarious concept where you go to a diner and you get abused, and like really badly abused, and you get told you're late, you're rubbish, you're pants, don't get all overexcited. Anyway, I can't believe it. It's called Karen's Diner Official on Instagram.
Okay.
And what I love about it is it says great burgers and rude service. And they've got them in Brisbane, Manchester, Birmingham, Melbourne, New Zealand, Sheffield, Sydney, Ryde, Perth, and like loads more places. They're everywhere, but they must have started in Australia, maybe?
Yeah, well, it sounds that way, doesn't it? Because there's more there than there are here.
But I am so excited.
So
Karen's Shit Pub Trivia, that's one of their Instagram posts. Wing It Wednesday. I mean, we're going up there to get abused in the Christmas holidays, and I've got to tell you, I am so excited.
Well, what's interesting is that when I started hairdressing in 1988 or whenever it was, I had this idea that you could open a hair salon where you were just abusive to everybody. But it was it was a total joke in my mind. But what's interesting about the world is that, you know, you can have an idea that seems so ludicrous and daft as an idea that then in 20, 30 years' time it sounds like an amazing idea and revolutionary and all the rest of it. And it's very weird how if you've got a mad idea in your mind about
something funny,
it is literally just you're just waiting for the world to change, for that idea to come to life, you know.
The other thing I was thinking, that this is the antithesis, and it is also a backlash against all the almost fake niceness, the kind of, you know, let's all be, you know, really understanding of each other and wellness packages and, you know, all this kind of... And I agree that we should look after each other, but it kind of has swung so far the other way of, like, massages and hammams and let's sit down and take a break. And then I was thinking, you know, the other way, suddenly people are laughing a lot at Rossi D. Woods, like, just bad-mouthing everything and Karen's done it, because it's a relief.
It's like
somebody has just burst the bubble and you go, I still want to take care of myself and
make sure that we all rest and be kind and everything.
I still want to do that, but by God, it is funny sometimes when people are so rude it makes your toes curl.
There is a worry that our kids' generation really are in a world of such high expectations and safety that any danger of verbal danger or, I don't know, any kind of aggressive behaviour or anything is absolutely, like, not what's expected on any level. Mm. And then there's no idea how to deal with it necessarily.
I was talking about anger today.
Yeah.
With a friend of mine and how interesting it is that in some places it's inappropriate. I was also talking to your son, interestingly, about thrash metal. I used to love thrash metal. He loves thrash metal, and he was going, this is a song I listen to when I'm angry. And I said, God, isn't it fantastic that you've got a place to go. You've got somewhere to go. And I said, I loved listening to thrash metal when I was angry, and I'd listen to the words and I'd be angry with the words. And I took Chester to the football a couple of times this week. Thank you very much, Arsenal Hospitality. You really were very, very kind. Thank you. And I took him to football and I thought, this is an amazing place for men and women to come and vent.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you can swear and you can scream and you can jump up and down, you can celebrate, you can kind of go mad, you get rid of all of this pent-up anger and energy.
And stuff inside you,
let it go.
There was an article from a psychologist talking about why kind of white middle-class kids listen to lots of black, aggressive, working-class gangster music, essentially, you know. And it was an observation really based on the idea that they're too safe. You know, they want some of this kind of angry energy and this kind of risky.
They need to let go of some of it, right?
Yeah. Like, and where else do you go for it? You know, you search for it in art, and you know, the most accessible form of art is music.
Mm.
I'm not saying I necessarily agree with that, but I just thought it was interesting observation, and it was, you know, worth being made.
No, I think it is. It's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, what we're trying to say is that it's a normal emotion to feel. It's just how you channel it. How do you get rid of it and what do you do with it? That's what's important in any kind of positive way, like music or football that you can use to...
Or go into Karen's Diner.
Or go to Karen's Diner. get a job. Get insulted, at Karen's Diner.
Basically.
Or you could go and do the insulting. Oh, my God, what a great job to have.
Could you imagine that, getting a job and then in the interview saying, insult me. Like, shout abuse at me. Yeah. Let's see how good you are.
Great.
You'd be very good at that.
Me?
That was a joke.
I'd cry. I think I'd cry. I'd feel so guilty.
So, folks, since I last spoke to you, I finished Jeffrey Dahmer, obviously. I think we probably talked a bit about that. It's intense, that.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a really good show, but it really gets you to start thinking about what it's like for his family and the dad, and then the dad writes a book, and then it's like, what should happen with the proceeds of that book? And is it right to write a book like that? But it's such a fascinating story, because they obviously went on and made a massive TV show now that's available all over the world. So there's obviously interest in it. I don't know. The story aside and all the goriness aside, there's some really interesting characters in it. The girl who lives next door to him, who's trying to get the police to actually arrest him, you know, who didn't do for years, and all these people die as a result. And I don't know. I loved it. They did a brilliant job, Netflix, of that.
I also... I've spoken to several people where we were dissecting how we felt about Jeffrey and his actions, and about how he did seem in the drama to be battling a personal kind of demon in himself, where he didn't want to keep killing people.
Oh, yes.
He desperately wanted to stop, and something would happen. You'd think, oh, no, the thing has happened. He's going to kill someone. You know, you just think, where he was kind of, where society... Where we all failed him at every corner.
Yes.
But also he failed himself. You know, it was just really sad.
What I liked is, like's the right word, but there's a bit at the end where they bring all the victims up and then all the dates at which they were killed. And there are these big gaps where you think, oh, he didn't kill anyone for 9 months there. And then there's like, Tuesday killed someone, Wednesday killed someone, Friday killed someone, then no one for 9 months or something. And you think, oh, wow, like he must have been on some kind of rampage, for those 3 days. But... I think they've done a great job of giving the victim stories, I think. There's one particular guy who's deaf in it. He's just such a sweet guy, and he's going out into the world to try and kind of expand his horizons, you know, as a deaf black guy in America, you know. And you just are praying for him to do well. And then, of course, he meets the wrong person, and it's just devastating. But I really enjoyed that. Anyway, I watched another TV show, which I just... loved.
Yeah.
It's 3 episodes long. BBC iPlayer, the Elon Musk show.
I've watched a couple.
Yeah. I don't really know what it is about Musk.
Why do people hate him so much?
I don't really know, because I've stumbled across a few people that are skeptical.
They hate him.
They think he's dangerous, out of control, a madman, or whatever. But that's just... I've always been intrigued, mainly because he kind of looks a bit like a Bond villain or something. He's had a hair transplant, which I spotted quite early. So that there's something unnatural about his hair. It's kind of quite thick, and I always think, what's going on with his hair? You know, that's what kind of intrigued me about him first. And then there's some kind of peculiar photographs of him on the internet and stuff like that, where I guess people are particularly publishing photos where he look weird, because they're trying to portray him as some kind of Bond villain, I think. Because obviously he's doing some quite weird things, you know. But I've watched countless interviews on YouTube about him now. There is no smoking gun, as far as I can tell. There's nothing peculiar about this guy.
And he's failed more than anyone I know.
On an epic scale.
He's failed and failed and failed. Mm. People think he's just kind of come along and he's just buying and making billions. I mean, he's bought Twitter. That could all fail.
Oh,
Twitter
totally,
could go
yeah.
bust in a heartbeat. Mm. But he is trying... He must have a very clear vision of what he wants to do with Twitter. And I am quite interested to see what it is.
But the other thing I really like about him is he's taking his responsibility correctly and carefully, that he is an extremely powerful man with an enormous amount of, access to an enormous amount of money and power and all that kind of stuff. And he never stops working. I mean, you will never see him on a boat sipping champagne in the Bahamas or on a jet ski somewhere, as far as I can tell. You only ever see him in black jeans and a black T-shirt at work, or doing a conference somewhere, or talking about work, or talking about engineering, or whatever it is. But he's never not working.
Mm.
And you think, bloody hell, all right, fair enough. You know, you've got all this money, you've got all this power, and you're obviously very, very clever. And he's going to work to try, ultimately, to make the world a better place. I don't know if anybody disagrees with me or not. You can message in on the thing, but I'm always amazed to find people that seem to think that somehow he's a force for bad in the world, not a force for good. But I listened to an interview the other day with him when somebody had said, you know, what constitutes a good life? And he said, you know, you should be a plus net zero when you die. Like, you should try and leave the world just slightly better than when you found it.
Mm.
And that's all you can do. If you could just do that one thing, if you could just make yourself and the world slightly better when you leave, then you've lived a good life. And you think, God, that's a great thing to think about, you know. And it doesn't really matter what it is. Like, I've tried to make a good hairdryer, you know, and that might make some people's lives just slightly better. Mm. Like, in the tiniest of ways. But that's what I've got to offer. That's all I've got to offer.
Mm.
And I really love that idea that, you know, you could talk to your kids about that. And you say, well, when they say, well, I don't know what to do with my life. And you say, well, just try and make anything better, a tiny bit better. That's what you do with your life, you know. Mm. Anyway, the Elon Musk show is on the BBC iPlayer, and they've interviewed everybody, his mum, his dad, his ex-wives.
Yeah, that's fascinating. That was so interesting.
The access they've got to people is amazing.
And how they feel about him and what they say about him is fascinating.
And they've got access to lots of archive interviews of him, but they've not got access to an interview with him, sadly. Mm. But the archival interview is interesting.
But he must have given permission to the exes to speak.
Yes, he must have done. They must have run it by him, I think. But I've also noticed he's always on the brink of tears when he gets interviewed. He's just about to cry all the time, and on two interviews he does. And I think that sometimes people are a bit cynical about that. But I think he's overwhelmed by his own existence.
Yeah, but also, like, some people are emotional and some people aren't. You know, you are emotional.
Mm.
I've come to...
I'm just like Elon Musk, though.
Not fear it. I used to be really worried.
What?
When you used to cry.
Oh, yeah, no.
And now I just allow you to do it and be happy that you're able to let it go
through it. Yeah. So if you're interested in Elon Musk, which I think everybody should be, because he is worth keeping
We should know about him.
Yeah, like, because he is an amazingly powerful guy and he is doing really interesting things. But I didn't realise NASA doesn't really exist anymore. He has replaced NASA. SpaceX does all of America's space work. Did you know that?
No.
So any satellites in the sky now that are going up there, he puts them all up there. So NASA doesn't exist. They made the Challenger, that spaceship, kind of redundant, essentially. And he won the contract. He was just about to go bankrupt, and he had one last rocket to... They had enough money to launch three rockets.
Yeah.
And then he managed to put all his own money, the last of his own money, into the final fourth rocket, which if it failed, that was it. Everything was gone. Done. Tesla's gone, SpaceX gone, the lot. And he manages to send a rocket into space, and then they manage to land it back on Earth again. So people probably don't know this, but all rockets are single use. You send them up there and they're done. So it's a bit like you drive your car at the supermarket and then you have to walk home. Like, it's a single journey thing. What he's managed to do is create a rocket that can go to space and then land back on Earth, and it's reusable. He's making hundreds of these things as well. I mean, it just beggars belief, like what it costs and the effort and the skill and the brain power that goes into doing the stuff he's doing. But I just absolutely loved this series.
We should all know about him.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, definitely watch that. So it's 3 1-hours. It's on the iPlayer and it's free as long as you bear your licence fee.
Yeah, somebody said it's not free when I said it's free. But yeah. I consider if you've got a television, which most of us have, because
you've got to buy a license.
When I say it's free,
it's
free because you've got a television, so you have to pay your license fee anyway.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do.
Like, you know, if you're watching it and you haven't got a television, you could watch it on an iPad?
Yeah, you can watch it on an iPad. You still need a license, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I want to talk to you about an alcoholic-free drink that I got you to try earlier. And I met this woman at a charity event that I was doing, and somebody passed me a champagne glass with some pink fizzy stuff in.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm sorry, I can't drink that, I'm teetotal. And she went, no, it's alcohol free. And I smelt it before it went to my lips. And I said, I think this has got alcohol in it. And she went, no, honestly, it's not. Mm-hmm. It's alcohol free. Now, I don't normally like things like gin, fake gins,
yes,
fake vodkas. I've talked about this before. But this looked a bit more like a sort of fizzy schlur, something like that. But what was interesting was it smelt exactly like champagne. And when I tasted it, it was very dry.
Yes.
Exactly like alcohol. What was your experience of it?
Yes. I mean, if you passed it to me, I would just assumed it was booze.
And
it tasted exactly like alcohol.
Exactly like alcohol.
You gave me a sparkling white wine and sparkling rosé.
And they both tasted.
And I would have just thought, oh, you've given me a glass of sparkling rosé.
Well, I've got to tell you, I think this brand is amazing. Mm. It's called Naughty, N-O-U-G-H-T-Y. Mm. Do you see what they've done there?
No.
Naughty.
I don't know how to spell.
Oh, so naughty as in
naught.
Ow. And then naughty, N-O-U-G-H-T-Y.
Well done.
And then it's alcohol free, so it's naughty AF.
Mm-hmm. Naughty as free.
Yeah, alcohol free. Yeah. So their website is naughtyaf.com, yeah, which I love.
Yeah, me too. It's very good.
So
well
N-O-U-G-H-T-Y-A-F.com. So their CEO is a woman called Amanda Thompson, and she used to work for the BBC. She was an arts broadcaster at the BBC, and she has won loads of awards for this alcohol-free drink.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 100% organic. It's completely vegan, no animal byproducts. It is low sugar, so they avoid adding any unnecessary sugar in the production process. It's halal, so halal certified products, which allows Muslims to drink it and be confident that they are upholding all their culture and beliefs.
Great.
And sustainability, B Corp certified, because they believe in the importance of sustainability. So, I mean, they're a really good brand. The only place that you can get it in the UK at the moment is on their website. It is available around the world in many different places, but at the moment, the only place to buy it is now. If you want an alcohol-free fizzy drink to drink, they've sold out of red wine.
They do alcoholic red wine, non-alcoholic red wine. Okay,
I'm but intrigued if, to try if some of you that. Want something that people might want to drink around Christmas or New Year, I suggest you buy it now.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a feeling they're going to sell out, and this stuff is unbelievably good. Mm-hmm. Take it from me and Michael.
Yeah, yeah, I really, really liked it.
Naughty,
I loved it, in fact, yeah.
Naughtyaf.com.
And I just don't like being drunk really that much anymore, you know, unless, you know, the feeling really takes me. Having said that, Rita Ora.
Yes.
Has given us a bottle of.
Yes.
Is this her tequila?
Yes.
So she makes her own tequila called Prospero, by the looks of things. Tequila Reposado.
And I'm going to look it up.
She signed it for us as well. We've got a signed bottle here. Maybe what we could do is drink some. I'm going to drink some of this now anyway.
Well, you can drink it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's non-alcoholic, Rita told me. Oh, you can you hear that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It smells more like tequila. Let's have a little splash in here. Has it got made by hand?
Made by hand, born of the lush volcanic soil of the Tequila Valley, the majestic blue agave infuses the landscape from which Prospero Tequila is created.
Okay. And what's the website called?
It is called ProsperoTequila.com. There are three different types. There's white, Reposado.
That's what I've got.
Anejo.
Reposado.
Right.
I mean, it smells good tequila. I mean, it smells of a really big night out, basically. Like, whoo, should we get shots?
So there's a Prospero Rita cocktail. Oh my God, I love it. A Rita cocktail is Prospero Blanco, strawberries pureed, balsamic vinegar, ooh, orange liqueur, lime juice, wildflower honey, and basil leaves.
Oh. I might make one of these tonight.
Yes, yeah. Please.
Okay, so I'm going to have I'm going to drink it now.
I'm
nervous.
All in one go. Tequila.
Oh, bloody hell, that's good.
Is it?
Oh, it's right warm to the cockles of me.
Cockles,
that has, yeah. Yeah, well, that is very nice. Thanks very much, Rita, for that.
Do you like tequila?
I mean, I don't really like alcohol, but I like kind of like getting a bit tipsy and stuff like that, you know.
How would you drink tequila? Like salt, I lemon, like,
yeah, I mean,
shot.
If I'm at a bar... Then yeah, it's like a ritual. It's a funny ritual thing to do with your mates. But I could easily drink a shot of tequila. Like,
do you know the difference in tastes? Does that taste nice?
It does.
Is it softer?
It's smooth, yeah.
Smooth,
It tastes smooth, this one.
Well done, Rita.
And the danger is you drink one, it tastes like bloody petrol, you know.
Yes,
it's like,
I mean, that's the thing. And I think if you don't...
Yeah. But you know, Simon and Nikki came New Year's Eve and they brought a bottle of tequila.
Yes.
And Nikki was like, should we do some tequila shots? And I was like, yeah, go on then. And I remember thinking, oh, this is good fun, isn't it? You know, I must have had about three. And then I was thinking, okay, I probably shouldn't have any more. But I enjoyed it. And it gives you a little boost throughout the night, you know.
Yeah, so the bottle that we got is $45.
Okay.
So that would be 30 quid, 30 something quid. Like that.
Yeah,
it's
well,
kind
that's
of
all
normal.
Right,
it's
isn't
like
it?
mid-range.
Mm.
There you go.
Very nice.
I want to talk about a book that is ripping me apart.
Yeah, you haven't even mentioned this.
Keep reading excerpts. Yeah. It needs to be read. It is one of the most amazingly written books I have ever read. Mm-hmm. And it is also the size of book that I love reading.
Yeah.
The last book that I read that was this size was Meet Me at the Museum, which was one of my absolute favourites about love in later life. You should
Bath the Paramedic, right?
Yeah, you should read that. Mm-hmm. It made me cry in many places. But this book is by Eve Ensler, who very famously wrote The Vagina Monologue. She's a very famous, ardent feminist, fighting for women's rights and women's safety. And when you read this book,
you know why.
You can understand why. And she has basically written the apology that she needed to hear from her father. Her father died over 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. And when he was abusing her, he abused her sexually and mentally for her whole life. But even in death, his dying moments, he also abused her then. And he was constantly, I think probably, you know, one of the saddest things for me that I read was the effort that he put into making out that his daughter was the biggest liar, most untrustworthy person to her own mother. Mm. So that even after he died, when she tried to speak to her mother, her mother would struggle believing what she was saying because her father had done such a good job of destabilizing her. But to read this letter that she would like to hear, that is supposed to come from
you read this
his
to me this morning.
Lips.
Yes. Yes. So she's written the letter. In her imagination, it's him writing it.
Yes.
And this is what she wished he had written.
And I mean, I keep reading you excerpts because it's agony to read. And I'm just going to...
read a bit.
Read a tiny bit. Well, there was one line which I thought I'm going to have to underline this because this is the most amazing way of saying it. They say, as you live, you shall die. And it's true that over time, my fury became lethal. So this is her father's fury. Mm-hmm. Anger is a poison you mix for your friend, but drink yourself, my mother would warn me, as I was always inexplicably angry, and then my rage turned, my whole system rotten and suffusing odious dread. It was as if the wrath had turned in on itself, devouring and suffocating my anguished psyche in an alley of regrets, excruciating anxiety, piercing doubts, and torturous self-recrimination. There was no forward motion. There was no back. There was no way out. I had neither the language nor will nor understanding to get free, paralysed in this zone of limbo. Like, he was just caught in this kind of unbelievably...
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah.
Destructive anger. But the abuse that she suffered, you know, started... really when she was 5 years old in terms of the sexual abuse.
Yeah.
And then as she got older, it turned extremely violent physical abuse from sort of 10 years old. And she was undermined every step of her entire life, but she became numb. There was an act of defiance that she did that one day when I think he was really hurting her, she looked at him and she managed to fake a smile and then said, thank you. To him, and the beatings were never quite as savage again, because he derived pleasure from her pain, and you just can't.
Yeah, her fucking... thanking him for it. Well, it was the opposite of her pain, right?
Yes,
it's actually pleasure. Yeah,
but the way she speaks
in his words
is so.
Oh,
it's amazing.
Who gave you that?
So, do you know Johan Hari?
Yeah.
The amazing writer. We've got his book here somewhere. I put it down here. So, Johan Hari started out as a journalist. He's written many best-selling books, one called Lost Connections, about how we're losing the ability to kind of connect with each other, another one about Chasing the Scream, about addiction, and we really kind of started speaking around the time of that book. Obviously, as an ex-addict, it was a really interesting book for me to read. And then this one's called Stolen Focus, Why You Can't Pay Attention. And that really spoke to me, because I struggle paying attention to anything ever.
Yeah.
And he has been always a fantastic recommender of books to me. And I'm reading quite a few about men and their situation in society at the moment. But this one was a kind of a slight side recommendation, which he thought that I would like, and he's not wrong. This book, The Apology by Eve Ensler, is one of the most harrowing but worthwhile books to read. And I feel like Eve Ensler deserves for us to all hear her story.
Yeah.
You know, she needs us to hear this apology written in her father's voice.
It's great.
I'm only halfway through, but it's one of the best things I've read in years.
It's not an intimidating looking book, because it's quite small. And... yeah, sometimes you can pick up a book and you think, oh, I'm just never going to have the time to plough through
that. Yeah, I'll be finished in 2 days, I think.
Yeah, oh, well done. Good. I'm really, I'm glad you're enjoying it for all the appropriate reasons. Obviously, I'm not reading a book. I'm listening to a book. I've downloaded Bono's memoir.
Oh, yes!
Which I think is called Surrender. Let me just dig it out, because I'd quite like to get it right. Surrender, 40 Songs, One Story, is Bono's memoir. I've been a big fan of U2 probably since about 1987, something like that. My stepmom Sue had the Joshua Tree on cassette, and I listened to that one day, and I remember thinking, God, these songs are just so good. I'd never really heard anything like it. And when you listen to that album in particular, songs like Bullet the Blue Sky and With or Without You and all the rest of it, they're unlike any other songs that were around at that time. I remember listening to an interview with The Edge, and he said, oh, you listen to With or Without You, it's like it whispers, it's a whispery song, you know, it kind of slightly whispers the words to you at the beginning. And he said there's never really been a song like that that was popular, you know, so it's a peculiar song for lots of people to know, you know, because it's not immediately interesting, you know. And I think, God, yeah, they made very kind of odd music, really, considering what was going on in the 80s and the 90s, you know, with Oasis and all the rest of it. They didn't fit into any particular genre for being one of the biggest bands in the world ever, you know. They're quite a peculiar outfit. So I was always intrigued by their success and you know, Bono in particular is such a kind of peculiar frontman. I was a big fan of Michael Hutchence, you remember,
yes.
who was a very obvious frontman. He was yes. so handsome and slender and slinky, and he had all the moves and the hair and the clothes and all the rest of it. Mm. Well, Bono was always a kind of chunky, small kind of bloke with kind of funny hair and odd glasses. I mean, there was nothing cool about U2 ever, I don't
think. Did you ever listen to Boy?
What, their first album? Mm. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I know all their stuff really, really well. So yeah.
I Will Follow was the anthem of my teenage years.
Is it? Mm. I mean, he talks a little bit about that. So his mum died when he was 13 years old. She died of a stroke at her own father's funeral, which is quite remarkable, isn't it? And obviously Bono saw that, as did his brother and his dad and all the rest of it, all the other family. So I don't know. What's interesting is the only thing I knew about U2 until recently really was anything I read in interviews in Q Magazine and Mojo and NME and stuff like that. And I read all those magazines through the 90s. So you were always trying to piece together their success story and how it came about, because they were massive, like all over the world, stadiums everywhere, you know, 157 million records or something. They sold. It's an incredible story for these four kind of slightly clumsy blokes from Ireland, you know.
And it was started by the drummer, right?
Yeah, the drummer, when he was 14, put a notice on the Pimbleton School that said, drummer looking for musicians to form a band, you know. Anyway, when I was in the gym today, I'm listening to it on audiobooks. So I got it on Apple Books. It's $14.99, which I thought was fair enough about about the price of an album.
But how many hours do you get for that?
25 hours for that.
You know, that's a lot.
It's a lot. And he narrates the whole thing, but it's not just narrated. It's riddled with music and samples from songs and vocals and then just drums and stuff like that. He's obviously got access to his own music, so they've done this musical mix in the background of everything. So I am just loving it in every direction. It's so good. I can't get enough of it. Now,
can you imagine reading it? It's much better listening to it, right, as a fan?
Oh, yeah, yeah, I think so.
That would be an amazing Christmas present for someone.
Yes, I think so. I think it's a great Christmas present.
The gift of the audio book about U2.
But I've noticed he did it on Broadway just recently. He did one night on Broadway where he did the story of his life, I guess, as a performance by himself. So a bit like Springsteen did on Broadway, which you can watch on Netflix, where he bangs in about 40 songs and then he talks a little bit about the story of his life. So he did that and it got an amazing review. So I'm hoping that's going to go on tour and maybe come to London. But even if it's just in America or whatever, I'd love to go and see it.
Oh, yeah, me too.
So tonight in the gym, when I was listening to it, they finally signed their record deal. But they get turned down by everybody. And I think this is the thing I love about these stories, whether it's Elon Musk or U2 or whatever, is just the sheer level of failure and rejection.
And we never hear about that.
No, not really. You just hear they got signed.
It's so important to hear about that.
But there's a very famous fifth member of U2 called Paul McGuinness, who was their manager. And he's talking at the moment about signing a contract and a deal with Paul McGuinness, who wants 25% of the gross money that comes in, which is a lot. This is before expenses and tax and all the rest of it, you know. So they sat down having this kind of discussion with him, and then they go to a burger place on Grafton Street, and they're in this burger place discussing firing Paul as their manager and not signing this contract. And who's in the burger joint? Louis Walsh. And Louis Walsh comes up to them and he said, I can overhear you all talking about Paul McGuinness. He says, I know Paul, and you'd be an absolute fool to fire him. He's the greatest manager you will ever stumble across.
Shut.
Now, Louis Walsh is not the Louis Walsh that we know at this point. He's a local manager doing cabaret acts and stuff like that throughout Dublin, you know. And so they go back and they decide to cut a deal, and they decide they'll split five ways everything. So you two and Paul McGuinness are a five piece essentially, and everyone gets 20%.
So he got 20.
Yeah, he got 20 after expenses, taxes, and all the other bits and pieces. And that's how they continued their career. They just split everything five ways, and that was that. But anyway, I mean, it's just one of those kind of rags to riches stories of a young boy, Generation X, I guess you could call all of them, you know. Growing up in the 70s, punk rock, The Clash, The Jam, all of that, all the things are interested in, all the magazines that get referenced. And you don't have to like the music or anything, but I mean, they've lived a remarkable life. And
did they ever like go off the
rails?
Rails.
I think Adam did, yeah. I think Adam went quite way off the rails. I don't know. I mean, we'll probably get to that in the book. And I think Edge probably, I think he got divorced and ran off with somebody else and all the rest of it. So I think they've had all their ups and downs. But the most remarkable thing is Bono's marriage, I think. That's the thing that I'm really interested in. Yeah, and they met when they were 13.
Yeah.
And he asked her out on the same week they formed U2.
Wow.
So there's this one week in their lives, in his life in particular, where
everything
he makes two
changes.
Decisions.
Wow.
And they're still...
Wow.
In that today, you know. Anyway, I just can't tell you how much I'm enjoying
it. She seems like an amazing woman.
Oh,
wife.
I think so. Yeah, I think she's remarkable.
She's like an amazing activist. And
he talks a little bit about her as well as this somebody who is not conforming to anything. She isn't a punk or a goth, or he said she lives in her own genre, really, completely confident in herself and her ability. And he's just absolutely
he
in awe of her.
He loves her, doesn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, and you really, it's just such a lovely thing to hear, you know, somebody say something so lovely about somebody else. Anyway, if it's a gift for Christmas, or you don't have to particularly like U2, but it's just a great story of, against all the odds, somebody doing something utterly remarkable with their life. And it's I'm really, really enjoying it. So fill your boots, ladies and gents.
I'm quickly going to mention somebody because I think this is a really nice Christmas present for someone. I posted a picture a while back that I had posted a few years ago on my Instagram.
Oh, yes, I know this one.
I love this picture so much.
Yeah.
And it's a picture of a little girl in a soggy sort of... You know when girls wear the big pants and they're a bit baggy around the legs because their legs are a bit too skinny for the pants? And she's in the pouring rain, in the grass, and she's absolutely soaking and soggy and her hair's wet and her arms are reached out and it says, "Remember her? She's still in there, inside you, waiting. Let's go get her." And what was absolutely brilliant was afterwards somebody went, "Oh... that's my photo," called Kate T. Parker. And so I credited her and I was like, wow, this is the most fantastic photo ever. She does really lovely photos.
Oh, she's the photographer.
Yeah, so I've credited her.
Oh, wow.
Her page is really cute.
Yeah.
Lots of really nice photos.
Oh, that's great.
And this is her daughter.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
God, how fantastic.
And there's a really nice post from the 29th of August where she explains how the picture of her daughter became a meme.
Okay.
So if you go to that post on my page, which was from 6 days ago, you'll see it all explained. It'll be probably be about 10 or 12 days ago now. But also, the words were from Donna Ashworth, and she's a poet.
Okay.
And Donna,
but did they collaborate or did she find that picture and just do it?
No, I'm not sure. I think they did it separately.
Okay.
But I sort of got the impression that they knew each other. So I don't know whether they found each other after they'd done the words. Anyway, Donna Ashworth has sent me three books that she's made. I really like this idea that her poems, they come in different colours and they cover different topics. But she sent me all three. If you were thinking about getting one for a friend for their birthday...
Get all three.
It's so nice. It is nice
to
get a little collection of books, I think. And they look so nice together. And she's got loads of wonderful, wonderful things. It's all about women in midlife on her website. You can also get framed poems. You can get poems printed out. You can get books. So just go to her website. It's donnaashworth.com.
Great.
These three books are on love, life and loss. The one on loss is quite extraordinary. If you are ever having to go to a funeral, which sadly I go to more and more now, this book can be a very nice gift for somebody who's struggling, but also if you're looking for something to read at a funeral, it can be really helpful.
You know, Cheryl gave me something to read at my friend's funeral.
Yes.
That was long before we worked together with you. Yeah,
I remember,
it's quite amazing,
you told me that. That's so sweet. That was a connection.
Yeah.
And you know, you never forgot that connection, but then, and then when you got to see her again, she planted a real seed in your heart at that point, right?
I absolutely love Cheryl, you know.
She's amazing.
One last thing. Remember the company called Breathe?
Yes.
They sent us masks and stuff during lockdown. They sent you some pyjamas.
No.
They came to my house, though.
Oh, what?
I thought they were for me.
Oh.
And I opened them, I was like, oh my God, Breathe, they've sent me some pyjamas.
Oh.
And then it's embroidered with DM on the pocket. And I thought, Douglas Michael, how does that
work? They've got that
the wrong way around. Yeah. Anyway, I've slept in them. They're really nice. I'm going to bring them for you.
You sprayed them.
Yeah.
Don't wash
but
them.
But at this point, don't I just want to say thanks to Breathe for sending them, because they came to the wrong person, but the right person in a way.
And I very quickly want to say, Tim Spector, who did a live with me, anybody that wants to take part in any health research, go and download the Zoe app. Health app. Don't download the Zoe app. Because that is, you have to pay for that.
Okay.
That is personalised dietary stuff. But if you want to take part in the research, download the Zoe Health app. It's Zoe Health.
Zoe Health.
Yeah. And you can take
part. Zoe, do we know?
No.
No, okay.
Don't ask him.
Okay, yes, okay. Just
anyway, also very, very quickly, he's written a book called Food for Life. Again, great Christmas present for any foodies out there. But what I love about this, he spent 6 years writing this book. In the back, you can cross-reference, you can look up any food at all. And he has told us what is good and what is not good about it. But I mean, it goes into things like food fraud. It goes into matcha. Kombucha, Kongoro, I mean, there's stuff I've never heard of. Kimchi, kiwi fruit, Kobe beef, licorice, Kentucky Fried Chicken,
folks.
I'm not going to read that just in case it says something terrible and we don't want to be mean on this website. But
I don't care what
it
says.
I mean, on this website, podcast. But really interesting. He's literally labelled every single food and it tells you why it's good for you and why it's not good for you. It's fascinating.
Very good. And then one last thing is, I probably haven't mentioned this, but the new Arctic Monkeys album came out for the last couple of weeks. I don't think...
I think you did mention you mentioned the single that had dropped, but not the album. Yeah.
So it's well worth a watch. And they did on Saturday night, they did a live with Jules Holland, which is on the iPlayer at the moment. But he's very cool, Alex Turner. You know, I always find like, I like having like what you might call aspirational males to kind of look towards for a bit of like style things or hair.
Can I just say something though?
Like
he was on the Jules Holland thing and I thought, Michael's already got a jumper in that colour.
Yeah, I know. And trousers a bit like
and
that.
And trousers. But actually,
I think about cutting my hair a little bit since I've seen his hair a bit shorter.
It looks nice, his hair, doesn't it?
It does look good.
And it's still long.
It's still long, yeah.
But it's shorter. Mm.
But I love it when people come along that I can kind of think, oh, I could see myself in those clothes, or I could see myself with that hair or whatever. He's real got this real kind of swaggery, and he wears those Wayfarer Ray-Bans, and I think, oh, I normally wear aviators, but I might swap to Wayfarers for a while. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, so if you're into all that, go and have a look. But there's two songs on the album which I love. One's called Hello You, and the other one's called Jet Skis on the Moat. Which I think is a great name for a song anyway. But if you're bored and you're thinking about having to listen to some music or some music, have a listen to those two songs in particular. Oosh.
Oosh.
I like them a lot. Should we just do a couple of shout-outs?
A couple of shout-outs.
Not spoke to any of this. Someone called Rebecca Batty here.
Love her already.
The surname Batty. I've only ever known a Nora Batty. You remember her from...
Nora, of course.
Last of Summer Wine. and it says at the bottom here, Leylander, Rebecca. Leyland.
Aye.
I can't believe it. I'm a little bit behind on the podcast, so I'm only just listening to the Girl Guide episode. Just thought you and some other listeners would be interested to know that the Scouts have started a new group called the Squirrels. Oh my God, this is brilliant. From 4 to 5 years old. The group only started last year, so not all Scout groups have squirrel sections, but the Scouting website will list where the groups are. Squirrels is great because there's beavers, cubs, scouts and explorers. But now there's squirrels.
Oh.
I haven't wondered what they were. I wonder if you get any younger. What would you call it if they were younger than that? Mouses? Mises? The shrew?
Shrews.
Little babies.
Babies.
Thanks, Rebecca. And it's always very nice, someone from Leyland.
Can I just tell you something?
Yeah.
During the process of recording this podcast, I've drunk a whole can of Yerba Mate. Yep. Can I say it's incredibly refreshing?
Yeah, but you might be up for quite some time now.
I mean, I feel absolutely fine. I don't think I'm going to be buzzing too much at all. I'm going to be great.
Oh, crikey. Dear... What's this? What's that called?
Dear BHY.
Dear Behal? Looks like Dear Bahali. Behal. Murphy.
I think...
So this is a message from Mrs. Murphy.
Yes.
Yeah,
let's
say
just
that.
Leave it at that.
And her Instagram name is Dear BHY, but she has posted something here, and it says, Mrs. Harris goes to Paris, 1950s London.
Oh, that's we this? Posted that. We posted that.
Did we post that?
Take your thumb off.
Oh.
Top left-hand corner.
Ah, okay. Silly but fun, so not my number one. The Banshees. Oh, yeah, of course, I went to see this. Inisherin. Is that right? The Banshees of Inisherin takes top spot for me. Incredibly beautiful, fabulous score, wonderful cast. Yeah, so I went to see this film, and it's the guy who did In Bruges.
Would you? For 2 weeks?
Yeah.
In Bruges?
I found it a tricky film, really, and I struggled with it a little bit. But undoubtedly, the score is brilliant. The scenery is unbelievably brilliant. I mean, as soon as I watched In Bruges, I wanted to go to In Bruges. And as soon as I finished watching The Banshees of Inisherin, I wanted to go there, wherever it is. It just looks breathtaking.
Would you give that film another go? Because she...
Completely, yeah,
It's her number one.
Yeah.
That's big.
It's getting 8 on IMDb. Loads of people love it.
Do you just think you were just tired or not in the right place?
I slightly missed the point of the film. I went back and read a lot of reviews about it. Because when I don't get a film...
You've got to go back and understand why. Well, why is everybody else loving it and not me?
I always think it's my fault that I haven't got the film. Something about me is wrong, you know. I know. In the Bono book, there's quite a funny bit in it where Edge always says, if somebody doesn't like you two, it's just because they're not trying hard enough. And it's very good, that answer. But I always think if it's a popular film, there's something wrong with me. I'm missing it. Like, I have to get myself back in it. So I read a lot of reviews and I listened to Mark Kermode talk about it and all the rest of it. So I think I probably do need to watch it again.
Yeah.
Because it's undoubtedly made by a craftsman movie maker. And the acting is brilliant and the script is brilliant. It's a very, very funny concept of two people. Of one person decides he doesn't want to be friends with somebody else anymore. And just that idea is quite peculiar. I mean, how do you remove yourself from a friendship that you've had for 20 years or something?
And why would you?
For no That's particular so reason. Weird. You just doesn't... Yeah, yeah. Mm. Anyway, thanks for that great recommendation there. This was so good. An awesome recommendation. The Good Nurse. Have you seen this yet? It's on Netflix?
No.
So that's Jessica Chastain,
yes.
Eddie Redmayne.
Yes.
You have
yes.
seen it?
No, I haven't. But I was talking about it the other day. It's the story of the nurse... That is the whistleblower on.
Yes.
And they were good friends. And how hard that is.
Okay. Well, I'm interested in watching that. Sharon Jones says, definitely recommend the 6-part series, The Devil's Hour on Amazon Prime. Peter Capaldi.
Oh, I love Peter Capaldi.
Jessica Rain. Creepy and brilliant. Ooh, that sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Thanks, Sharon Jones. That sounds great.
Do you know what we keep getting recommended?
Go on.
The Bad Sister.
Bad Sisters? The thing with Sharon Horgan. And
Got to watch that.
Yeah, I mean, loads of people have suggested
Everybody is saying that.
Hi, Olivia, Davina and Michael. Looking forward to the next podcast. Just thought I'd send you a reel I did on the menopause. I thought you might like it. Oh, that's good, isn't it?
P is for periods gone loopy. E is for feeling like you have early onset dementia. R is for relief when you know what's wrong with you. I is for ignorance. M is for midlife muffin top. E is for estrogen-rich foods. N is for never sleeping. O is for getting old. Nah. P is for prescription charges. A is for atrophy, look it up. U is for unhelpful advice, anyone? S is for statistics. E is for exercise.
Boom! Vanessa Yay! G draws. So these are her drawings, by the looks of things.
I love it.
Vanessa
yes,
G
look at
draws.
Her.
Oh, wow, great.
That is so good. She's only got 497 followers.
She's got one more now because I've just followed her, yeah.
These are great.
Oh, these are great little drawings. How do you do these, Vanessa? Let me know. You do them in Procreate or something like that. I'd like to know because they're really, really good.
Oh, I love these. I wonder if she actually looks like that.
Yes, you think it's like a self-portrait, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
And there's loads of things in here. Social media scrolling through my odd relationship with Facebook. Oh, these look great. Thanks for the recommendation, and we've just recommended you, Vanessa G. Draws.
Love it.
Let's do one last one at random. Lorna, have you watched 1883, The Yellowstone? It's bloody amazeballs. Yellowstone must be that thing that I keep meaning to watch. It's on Paramount with Kevin Costner.
Yes, lots of people talk about that.
I feel like I've read that one out before. So let's just put another one in for good luck. Joe Lacking says, love the podcast, but just wanted to say thanks for the conversation between you and Michael around your subject of dating in your 50s. My life turned upside down a few months ago when nearly after 30 years together, my husband told me he was leaving me. I'm not ready for another relationship yet, but your comments gave me some hope. I feel very young at heart. Good, yes, so you should. And felt a bit depressed about the idea. I had, too, that men of a similar age were always going for much younger women. You gave me some hope. Thank you, Joe.
Oh, Joe.
Yes, absolutely. There is absolute hope, for
yeah,
sure.
There is.
And I meant every word I said in that episode. The very, very best of luck and keep listening.
Yeah, good luck,
and
Joe.
And we'll hopefully keep recommending things.
Yeah.
That'll be good fun.
Yeah. Oh, and get on to Restless.
Restless.co.uk,
and they've got a dating section in there specifically for over 50s. And I know that's where we were talking about it, but go and have a look. I massively recommend that website
it's
to
really
anybody
good,
over 50.
Yeah.
I always thought that, like, the opening page of that website was so clever because they look like people like us having a really good time. So I thought that's what we want to be doing.
You get your second spring and all the rest of it, don't you? You are Joe Lacking, full of potential
at the beginning.
Yeah.
Of your second spring.
Imagine how
Here
great
go.
Things could go.
Yes,
absolutely.
And also, it's like you get to choose where do you want to go next? What do you want?
Yeah. Mm. The very, very best of luck. Mm-hmm. Lots of love. Okay, ladies and gents, we're going to go and eat. I'm going to go and eat a steak and a baked potato.
We'll see you next.
What are you having?
I'm having homemade chicken soup.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
I have a little bit of soup as well.
Mm-hmm.
Is there enough for me?
Yes, there is.
Okay, great. It's great to be back, folks. Thanks for your patience.
We've missed you.
Yeah, we really have. Mm-hmm. And we'll speak to you again next week.